Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 49. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, one second here. I have to do some things. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prabhu Agyai Bhakta Gana Satyabda Asya Gundicha Dekiyaya Na Prabhupada Nilaya. Following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees used to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year. They would see the Gundicha festival at Jagannath Puri and then return home after 4 months. Om Gyanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Adadanaschanam dante idam yache puna puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vayagi Yudbhakti Risham Priyatnai Apayam Amanabhip Samandam Kupambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So can you get me those poems of Kushikrata that I read this morning? They're on my desk. Okay. So greetings from Albany. As I mentioned, I sometimes mention a little bit about where I am, and there's a nice preaching center up here, that does mostly preaching at the university. They have a cooking class with how many people? 25 people, and a yoga class. And then they have some Shastra class, and they have programs at a very nice, very beautiful rented house near the university. And by that preaching, they opened up a vein. Sometimes preaching is like mining. You're scraping the ground, there's nothing there, and then you hit a vein, and you take out all the gold. And then after you take out all the gold of that vein, then you're scraping again. So they hit a big vein, and maybe 20, 25 educated devotees, committed, many of them now initiated, and people, you know, working in the world and information technology, etc. And they're still keeping up the effort trying to find another vein, although I did a program here and there were quite a few nice people. So very pleasant. I gave class last night, and this morning a group of the devotees that work and study here, they live together. And it's nice to see Lord Chaitanya's movement is for everyone. He's Patita Bhavana. But it's nice to see the educated class. Many of them are PhDs, studying for their PhDs, and other degrees, and working in the world. And from here, because it's university, a lot of the people have left to go to other places after they completed their graduation. Now, before I start the class today, somehow or other, I mentioned in a previous class, I was there when my godbrother Kushikrata Prabhu, left the world, and he was a kavi, a poet. And I told you, I read a history of Rasa Shastra, and, you know, it said, you know, maybe 1,000 years, you know, you get many authors, but very few poets. So he was actually a great poet. And after he finished translating in Sanskrit all the Goswami literature, which we don't even have out yet, we were just reading previously in the CC all the books that were indebted to the our Guru Parampara, Krishnas Kaviraj, before he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was expressing his indebtedness to Sanatana Goswami for the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Tarupa Goswami for all his books, and to Jiva Goswami for all his books. Kushikrata translated every single one of those books I mentioned into English. In fact, the one that was mentioned as the, what is it, Magnus Opus, what, I forgot I'll get that word sometimes. The cream, it said the greatest work of Jiva Goswami is Gopal Champu. And Champu is half prose, half poetry, and explains Krishna's pastimes and leelas in very detail, including a whole description of Parikram and Mathura and the holy places. He's translated that already also. So he's translated every book we mention. And when he finished translating all the works of the Goswamis, you name it, he translated it. Then he began to write English poetry of Krishna's pastimes. And he completed, and he did it in classical meter and rhyme. So he did about 36,000 sonnets. So there's a phenomenal, in tens of thousands, unpublished. And 2 days before he left, I was with him, and I was speaking from the Bhagavatam. You know, I was just studying and giving classes on the Bhagavatam and sharing. He was, you know, I said, you'd like me to come to read with you? He said, yes, you can come and read my poetry. Because he really relished. Can you imagine, it just absorbed completely in the works of the Goswamis, just an ordinary, apparently an ordinary guy from Brooklyn. Absorbed in translating all the works of the Goswamis and writing poems. And when he left his body, And the Baladev Vidyabhushana Prabhu was there assisting him. He's such a wonderful altruistic person. Even though he himself had joined us, he was helping him. So they had to clean him up. And they saw on his bed some poems that he had written practically the day before he left. So I'm not a good poetry reader, and I don't even know the meter, but you'll get an idea. This is the last poem he wrote. And it's, I'm just going to read the last line. It's a florist guide to the super fragrant lotus flower of Vraj. And this is what he was going to begin writing. And it said, the first petal is Vrindavan forest. Excuse me. So, I'll just read his last line. And I probably won't read it properly, but follow me. He said, The saints all worship Vrindavan, where Krishna Chandra of lotus petal limbs and peacock feather crown black curly hair made dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out, or made dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out the flute's sweet flower snout. I love that last line. May dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out the flute's sweet flower snout. And then it said, and dance, and then I guess that was the last thing he wrote. So many wonderful poems, and one day they'll be there, but they're all according to classic meter. If someone just came on, please, if you can, try to mute the phone, because we hear the background. another thing is, we had this wonderful discussion of, I can't even pronounce the word, anonymity, how to reconcile that with individuality. And the problem here in this class is, some of the group is on every day, Wednesday and Sunday, and some are on either Wednesday or Sunday. So sometimes I'll have to repeat, but it's worth it, which I read last Wednesday, which is very wonderful. I can say it again. Maybe I won't say it all, but one of the listeners, Sue Davy from Belgium, wrote something, a lecture of Radhanath Swami. It's a whole story where there's a disciple of Ramanujacharya, Ananta Acharya. He's a Siksha disciple. And he goes to Ramanujacharya and he asks him, I'm not going to tell the whole story because I know some people are hearing it again, but he asks him, what are the symptoms of a Vaishnava? And Ramanujacharya said, you first go and do this service for 6 months and then come back. When he comes back 6 months, Ramanujacharya tells him a Vaishnava is like a crane, a Vaishnava is like a rooster, a Vaishnava is like salt, and a Vaishnava is like you. Now I say I have to tell the whole thing, but I'll tell it again. But so he said, so it's very interesting. Why is it, it helps to further reconcile, this apparent dichotomy between, individuality and expression and anonymity in a very nice way. Anyway, the crane, he said, so he couldn't figure it out, so he went to his initiating guru, who was also a Siksha disciple of Ramanujacharya named Parasara Bhatt. So he went to him, and he explained, oh, that's very obvious. The crane is like a Vaishnava, because the crane is white, and the Vaishnava is free from duplicity. He said the crane is also, he stands on one leg in the water, and he looks for the small, the big fish, not the small fish. And he said, that's just like a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava doesn't search for the small talk. He searches for the wisdom, the talk of significance. And he said the crane also said when it's flooded, the crane leaves. So just the Vaishnava, when the place becomes flooded with materialism, the Vaishnava leaves. And he said, how is it like a rooster? He said, a rooster goes into the dustbin and picks out the tasty seeds. So the Vaishnava is saragrahi. He seeks the essence. And he said, how is a Vaishnava like salt? And this was actually nice. And he said, because the salt, it's so distinct and individualistic. It's the main component of the preparation. But although it's the main component of the preparation, no one says, boy, you really put a nice salt today. You say, oh, The I especially like what's that called? Coriander seeds, you know, or you know, there's so many things, but the salt remains hidden, although its contribution is the greatest. And then it finally says, and the salt has the unique quality; it melts through everything, but it doesn't merge. Its contribution still remains very distinct. She said, so that's just like a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava has distinct contributions to make, but he serves the greater purpose and doesn't try to become distinct, although his contribution is significant and individualistic. And then say, so how is a Vaishnava? And he said, and a Vaishnava is like you? Because you listen to his instructions and execute it, and therefore you got the mercy. So that was very nice. Now we'll go on. Now one thing that I'm kind of vowing to do is not have long introductions and actually get together with the devotees on the Sangha to hear this wonderful text. But I always give some introduction. So we're having this this very wonderful Krishnadas Kaviraj getting ready to explain the Antilila, and what a contribution that Srila Prabhupada gave to the world and specifically to the Vaishnava community to actually give us the nectar, the amrita, the life force, describing the character of the life force and immortality. If there was one book that I would read, perhaps it would be this book, the CC, because it contains everything. I know some people who wanted Krishna Lila were a little bit concerned that I'm switching from the Bhagavatam to the CC, but the CC, the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya, is based on the Bhagavatam. And in fact, the highest subjects of the Bhagavatam are discussed in the Anti Lila. So we see in Krishna Das Kaviraj, although he's about to take this immense task, he's expressing his indebtedness. Because when you express emotions, they increase emotions. And indebtedness is the symptom of humility. And when you're humble, you can experience mercy. And I came to this realization that our spiritual practices are mainly putting ourselves in a condition to experience mercy. Because if you experience mercy, you will develop love for the bestower of mercy. And that's the essence of Trinada peace and Ichena, Tarora peace and Ishmana. That's the essence. That if you actually are humble, you will feel mercy and therefore love for the bestower of mercy, the holy name. And therefore you will do it with love, and therefore you can do it always. Because when you do something with love, it's so much pleasure, you never want to stop. So we should always seek the humble position. And one of the ways to seek the humble position is to consciously express our indebtedness. And Krishnadas Kaviraj is going to express his indebtedness. All Vaishnavas have Mangalacharan. They invoke auspiciousness by expressing their indebtedness. And specifically, he's expressing indebtedness to all the literary contributions of the previous Acharyas, which he will continue. But without what they have done, he could not start. So without what Prabhupada and his representatives, etc., have done, and the previous Acharyas, and what they have given, we could not start, we could not begin. So we should always feel indebted. And a lot of times I came up with this realization, the reason sometimes Krishna doesn't fulfill all our desires, and I gave the analogy, because maybe we become like a spoiled child. Spoiled child, he's getting so much mercy from the parents, getting so many things from the parents, but because he's spoiled, he can't appreciate them. And therefore, he doesn't appreciate that he's getting mercy, and therefore he doesn't have love for the bestower of mercy, his parents. He doesn't feel love. So perhaps if Krishna let us be the enjoyer and controller and fulfilled all our desires, he would actually be cheating us, like a parent cheats the child by spoiling the child, because we feel, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. And therefore, no matter what we get, we wouldn't feel mercy, and therefore we wouldn't feel love. And what is the use of life if we don't feel indebtedness, gratitude, mercy, and love from Krishna? So Krishna Das Kaviraj, very, very wonderfully expresses that indebtedness. And now we've actually got into the Leela. And therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj explains, because the Seisha Leela of the last 24 years, this is great for me today because this is one of the rare times where I have an audience. And I have such a nice group of young men and young lady devotees, very attentive, very eager to hear Krishna Katha. So it's very nice to do it here. Maybe in the future I will come and do these things here. That's good. So it's the end Leela. And in the end Leela, it begins with Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. So Krishna's Kaviraj sannyas. The first year, what did he do? He goes to Puri. He goes to Puri. And all the devotees, naturally they also go to Puri, because that's a symptom of love. What love means, or priti means, you want to please someone, therefore you want to be with them. And then you get this pleasure of serving them. So you want this. So they all go. Of course, more important than being with someone is desire to please him. And if desire to please him, like Lord Nityananda, means you go to Bengal instead of staying in Puri, then that's higher. But the desire is always there. And if it facilitates the service and doesn't interfere with the service, then we naturally try to go. In Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, I was in Vrindavan. And, you know, being in Vrindavan then was not like being in Vrindavan now. You would only see the devotees once a year for 2 weeks. Otherwise, the rest of the time, there was no one there except the temple devotees. No one would visit Vrindavan. Our guest house was completely empty. We had to advertise. No one was coming to Vrindavan. Pilgrims weren't coming hardly at all, and none of it was nice in ways also. But then, when Prabhupada was leaving his body, he kept on calling the GBC to Vrindavan. And I remember they would come and then they would leave. I remember 5 or 6 times this would happen. And, you know, because they had that thing, oh, we'll have to serve Prabhupada our zone. But Prabhupada also, he knew, and if they have love, you want to please, you want to be, especially at that moment, at the end. So, let's see where I am. So the devotees, they all go to Puri, and they attend the Rath Yatra, and after attending the Rath Yatra, they go for the Rath Yatra, because that's the beginning of the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the rainy season, because India is an agrarian economy. So when it rains, they all have vacation. This is nothing to do, basically. And because either you're working in the fields, farming, or the other type of activities, you know, if you're doing something else like a teacher, they close, you know, the rainy season. So they're able to go, and they attend the Rath Yatra, which is in July, and then they stay for 4 more months in the Chaturmasya, the 4 months. And they enjoy the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Nitya Gita Parama Ulas, the greatest pleasure, which is chanting and hearing. That's the ultimate. The chanting and hearing is the ultimate pleasure. Kirtan is the ultimate pleasure, because Krishna is there manifest in his holy name, and the music and the singing and the dancing and the devotees, you become absorbed, and absorption in Krishna is pleasure. And that's the maximum way to become absorbed is kirtan, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the father of kirtan. So it's also something that he specifically gave. So it's very wonderful process. Okay. So then the devotees are ready to leave. And Lord Chaitanya, when they're ready to leave, he tells them, and this is Ras, Chaitanya Char, the character of the life force and immortality is this pure love or bhakti or devotion. So there's nothing but rasa in Gaur Lila. There's nothing but rasa in Krishna Lila. Jiva Goswami says there's nothing but rasa in the Bhagavatam. Because that's the ultimate, this perfected love. And they're qualified to exchange this perfected love. So at the time of the departure, the Lord, how is he feeling? He's feeling separation from his devotees. So what does he tell them? He says, please come here every year to see Rath Yatra Festival of Lord Jagannath's Chair. You come every year. This is rasa. I always tell this story. Once I was in Vrindavan in one summer, and it's always nice. The summer, I mean, July, August, the rainy season is there. It doesn't bother me, the heat. It's not so bad. And I like it because it's just the residents of Vrindavan. And they have time at that time to associate with you. I'm talking about the ISKCON devotees that live there. But during the year, you know, so many people are coming. So I have an old friend. He had studied the Bhagavad Gita with me when I was teaching the Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan. And I saw this man who was studying the Bhagavad Gita. I saw that he was not only learning the philosophy, but he was memorizing all the verses in English and Sanskrit. So I looked at myself and I said, you should be a teacher. So he said, yeah, actually, I'm going to stay 5 years and learn Sanskrit. And then I'm going to go preach. He stayed 5 years and he learned Sanskrit. And then he said, I'm going to stay another 5 years. And then he went into the villages and he learned fluent Hindi. And then I think he stayed another 5 years and went to Bengal and, you know, learned Bengali. And then he learned music and he wants to relish the Bhagavatam and all the ragas and the melodies and he's a very, he's like a forest sage. And he lives in like almost like a sage's type thing. He's from the West. He's from South America. So somehow or other, I have this one god brother, who speaks fluent Sanskrit. He's from America, but he speaks fluent Sanskrit. Every time he sees me, he said, you should learn to speak Sanskrit. He said, you should learn to speak Sanskrit. And then he said, this Yadu teaches speaking Sanskrit. So somehow he convinced me. And I went to the person. He said, okay, I'll give you a 1 month course. So I would go every day. It was very, very powerful. He knew how to, you know, because the course would all be in Sanskrit. And he would teach you a Sanskrit phrase where you would say, how do you say, and then the word in English in Sanskrit. So that's all you had that, you know, so if you didn't know something, you can ask in Sanskrit how to say it. And he's very good. I saw how it worked, and it helped me a little bit to understand something. But then, well, I told this in my journal, then one day, this is rasa. I said to him, how do you say in Sanskrit, I am leaving? Right? And he couldn't answer it. So then after the course, we don't speak any English during the course. So after the course, he said, the reason I don't answer it, he said, because Sanskrit also means culture. The little term Sanskrit means culture. And in that type of thing, a guest never says, I am leaving. Because it causes too much pain to the host. So the way you say, I am leaving in Sanskrit, in the cultured way, is you say, I will return tomorrow. He said, there is no way I can explain this to you. So this is actually rasa. So at the time of departure, the Lord requested all the devotees, please come here every year to see the Rath Yatra Festival, Lord Jagannath's journey to Gundicha. Now today's verse, Prabhu Agyai, on the order of Lord Chaitanya, Bhaktagan, all the devotees, every year, they came here. And then they returned after 4 months. So, it's so nice. The order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the thing that you want to do most. So you have order, so you can do it. Because to enjoy, you have to basic principle of enjoyment, take it from someone who's expert as an enjoyer. Then enjoyment must be without guilt. The same experience with guilt you won't enjoy. So enjoyment must be without guilt. That's why that's why it's so hard to teach someone something that goes against his attachments. Because what you're attached to, so that you will enjoy it without guilt, if it's wrong, you will devise a philosophy. It's called rationalization. Rationalization is intelligence in the service of the false ego for your enjoyment. So you will rationalize. And therefore, a lot of times when you are dealing with people's conceptions and you're trying to correct their conceptions, they're resisting because it's not just the conception. The root of that conception is their attachment. Very, very, very... The Lord Chaitanya is so kind. Prabhupada is so kind. He told the devotees, yes, come to Mayapur Vrindavan every year. He told them. So, Prabhu Agyai. And even we see, this is so wonderful. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also for Rupa and Sanatan. It said Prabhu Agyai on the order. So Prabhupada has also asked us, come to Vrindavan. Vrijan Prabhu told me someone came to Vrindavan from Chopati with a letter from Garanga that I should take care of him. Okay? And he told me how he came. He said, Vrijan was giving a class and he told all the devotees, you should all come to Vrindavan. You should spend time in Vrindavan. If any of you here come to India when I'm there, please contact me. And we take nice experiences at Vrindavan. So now, I'm so happy now that finally we're getting into the Leela of Gaur Leela. So, Vimshati Vatsara Achi Kaila Gata Gati Anyonye Dunhara Dunha Vina Nahi Stiti. For 20 consecutive years, this meeting took place. And the situation became so intense that the Lord and the devotees could not be happy without meeting each other. This is the philosophy of Yatra. The devotees get together, Chire Vatani, Haritoshinani, when Vidura went on pilgrimage, Chire Vatani, Haritoshinani, he made a vow on pilgrimage only for the pleasure of Krishna. So when they may be working in the fields or doing so many, but for the 4 months, it's only for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's pleasure. That's when love flows from the heart. We can't believe when we go on pilgrimage to Vrindavan or Mayapur, etc., Puri, and it's only for Krishna, how much living in that environment and that atmosphere, how much the consciousness is uplifted. How much pleasure. This year I had so much pleasure myself seeing the devotees come and transform in 2 months. Transformation. Joe Cayley, who does the design on my book, he took his stepdaughter to Vrindavan. They've never been. And, stepdaughter is a very nice young lady, but naturally they live in that New York culture. And also her real father is not a devotee. So she came on pilgrimage, and I saw just this young girl afterwards crying. I don't want to leave. Because they're in that environment where everything is for Krishna. So it became, so intense, this coming. What was intense? Gata Agati. Coming and going. The prema was flowing. Why? The embankments of separation and union, like a river, the prema is flowing in those two embankments. So Krishna deals with the devotee like that. and separation and union and separation and union, the rasa, the prana is flowing for 20, and they could not be happy without meeting each other. Because the happiness is the being with that person to inspire that service. So nice. And Sesha Ara Ye Rahi Dvarasa Vatsara Krishnera Viraha Lila Kabura Antara. The last 12 years were simply devoted to relishing the pastimes of Krishna in separation within the heart of the Lord. So we describe this type of the 24 years, the last 24 years, six on pilgrimage, preaching, six in concentrating with, in associating with devotees, the last 12 years fulfilling his reason for his internal reason to descent. I mentioned this in the last class, an amazing phenomenon. And even though, how high is the position of a devotee? Even though Krishna experiences the rasa dance with Srimati Radharani and all the gopis, after finishing it, he still has three unfulfilled desires. He wants to experience the love of the devotee, the happiness that the devotee feels when he experiences Krishna's love, and the experience that the devotee has of Krishna. He had unfulfilled desires without taking the position of a devotee. So in the last 12 years, it's Krishna taking the position of the devotee to fulfill his desires that could not be fulfilled within the rasa dance. And that's to experience the love of the devotee, and I mentioned this many times, which devotee? The topmost devotee, when at the height of their experience of love, which is what? Their separation. So this is what Krishna Das Kaviraj is going to have to explain. The mind of God. I tell you, I once was visiting one sadhu when he was reading Gopal Champu, and he said, oh, what a wonderful book, The Mind of Radharani. I once thought I would write a book called The Mind of God. Because the Bhagavatam reveals the mind of God, just like the story of Bhishma Dev, of Yudhisthira at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He ascends to the throne, looks around and sees all the carnage of millions of people killed, and then feels that I am the cause of this. And therefore laments, and then we see that he goes to Vyasadeva, and it raises his doubts about why the world is like this, that you do your dharma and you suffer. I didn't try to do anything wrong. I did my duty and look what happened. And what did he say? Vyasadeva couldn't answer his questions. Vyasadeva said, well, you go to Krishna. He went to Krishna and he sat at Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna said, are you satisfied? He said, no, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. And then he said, okay, go to Bhishma Dev. So you see the mind of God. He did not empower Vyasadeva. He himself couldn't answer the question. Why? He wants to satisfy his devotee. He wanted to please Bhishma Dev, his unalloyed devotee. Krishna is bound by the love of his devotee. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, this is called Paramaguyam, the topmost secret. What is the topmost secret? That Krishna is controlled by his devotee's love, and if you want Krishna, you have to go to the devotee. He's controlled, and nothing else can control Krishna. Not your mantras, not your fast. Nothing can control Krishna. Only Sadhu Sangha. So this is such a wonderful point. So, anyway, he's going to have to explain this, the mood. This is the penultimate experience of God to become his own devotee in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So here it is. Now what we can do, we can envision now that Prabhupada will now address the Sangha through his purports. So Prabhupada says, and this is a wonderful part of the Sangha to hear directly his voice, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the position of the gopis in separation from Krishna. When Krishna left the gopis and went to Mathura, the gopis cried for him the rest of their lives, feeling intense separation from him. This ecstatic feeling of separation was specifically advocated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his actual demonstration. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took the highest sentiments of braja, the separation of the gopis, and practically demonstrated that as our means of bhajan, as Gaur Govinda Swami, who is such a realized soul in Gaur Lila, he said he wanted to open up a crying school. It's because people should, sometimes if you have the right intellectual conception, and put yourself in that frame of mind, you may have some experience. So we should be in the mood, yes, I am separated from Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada said, one should chant the holy name of the Lord as a child who is crying for his mother. So practical. So he's going to demonstrate this. And from that, we are going to learn in the Anti Lila all the esoteric secrets to the level we can realize about how to do bhajan to Krishna, how to do bhajan to worship Krishna. Because it's the mood of separation. Because that's realistic for us. We are not with Krishna. And as we cultivate some devotion, we should want Krishna. I want Krishna. Now, I'm Nityananda Prabhu, who organized the Sangha. I don't want to embarrass him, but his father was Radhanath Swami's music teacher, who I also knew very well. So somehow, that music ability is him. So I told this story about many years ago about Prabhupada. I don't want to tell the whole story, but it's about Malati had a daughter. They were traveling to Prabhupada, and she got a silver deity from life member. They took it away because someone will steal it. She was very attached to that deity, and she kept on crying, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. Then finally, they couldn't pacify her. Even they got her a new deity, but it wasn't silver because they didn't want it stuff. It had to be brought to Prabhupada. The Prabhupada pacified her by explaining that this is actually the proper move. And Jamuna told me this story, and she said she was watching from the door, and the hairs in the back of her neck were standing on end, watching Prabhupada pacify this girl by explaining the last verse of the Sad Goswami Hospital. Hey Rad, hey Vajadeva, hey Chalalite, hey Nandasu, no Kutaha. Explaining the last verse, how, I don't know what you do. What are you going to do? If you answer it, it's first. Hey, Rod, hey, Vajadeva, hey, Chalali, hey, hey, Nanda, Suno. So Amritananda wrote a song. Like he's learned guitar. The last program I did, he sung this song. It was almost like a little, you know, George, I really want to be with you, you know, but I want Krishna, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. And then when you cry, you say it with more sincerity, I want Krishna. And you don't get it, it's more, I want Krishna. And therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is that greed for Krishna, that lobha, that hankering. We have to cultivate it. Nirantara ratri dina viraha unmade hase kande nachi gaya parama vishade. In the attitude of separation, Lord Chaitanya appeared mad both day and night. Sometimes he laughed, sometimes he cried, sometimes he danced, and sometimes he chanted in great sorrow. So someone on the highest platform of devotion, in Sampragata Samadhi, when he lets himself go into that Samadhi, because sometimes you have to check it, because it does not conform to social norms. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would check it because he would be experiencing sometimes crying and agony. And he, out of love, he wouldn't want to see the devotees feeling pain for him. So during the day, he wouldn't try to exhibit this, but at night, when no one was there, then your emotions can come out. I guess that's also practical life. So at night, the agony would come out. So his separation, he appeared mad. Why did he appear mad? Because it wasn't a cause. And because the specific symptom of samadhi, as compared to the stage before samadhi, which is called Dhruvana Smriti. Dhruvana Smriti means, Dhruvana Smriti, your remembrance of Krishna flows like you're pouring ghee. So in other words, when our mind, we think of Krishna and think of something else, but it's so consistently Krishna, it's flowing like ghee. It's flowing. But higher than that is samadhi, which means that you're not even cognizant of what is happening outside. In Dhruvana Smriti, you're still aware that people, you're not even aware people are around. So if you act without cognizance of anybody else around, then you'll appear mad, because a lot of our actions are cognizant. Oh, here's a particular person, someone's visiting the house, this person understands that, right? But if you just act completely according to your devotional symptoms, you walk into a bank, you know, and then all of a sudden you start thinking of Krishna and you start chanting madly and take out your kartals and go, Harivo! 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 If you're not cognizant of other people, they think you're mad. Right? Therefore, when we share our internal sentiments externally, we have to be very careful in preaching, because if new people don't understand our sentiments, if they have no frame of reference and we're not cognizant of them, they'll think of ourselves mad. So you have to be a little careful sometimes, cognizant. But advanced devotees in that type of culture, the people have some frame of reference, but still they would think they were mad, because they would have no cognizance. And evam vatasvapriya nama krita jatanu raga. The essence of chanting the whole name is to chant without inhibition and attachment. Svapriya nama, the name of the Lord of which you have a specific attraction for. That will melt the heart and that will cause samadhi. Jatanu raga. This verse is described. Then the devotee chanting in that way, Gora, 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 Radhe, Radhe. There's a song, I could have got it, by Gorky Shore. Kotamayi, go, go, Kotamayi, Radhe, Radhe. He has this song, Gorky Shore Das Babaji. Go, Kotamayi, Radhe, Radhe. And then it just mentions, you know, Vrindavan and Bamsivat, and everything is go, Kotamayi. You know what that means? Go, Bengali. Go, Kotamayi, Kothmayi. Go, go, Kotamayi, Radhe, Radhe, go, Kotamayi, Radhe, Radhe. Goes, Vrindavan, Kotamayi. He names everything, but it's the emotion. This is the mood of Mahabhagavat, who's not come to the platform of Madhyam for preaching. So Lord Chaitanya, this attitude of separation, he goes, why? Because you're envisioning the pastimes and you're experiencing them. So if the pastimes are humorous, you start to laugh. But if you don't know that people are around and all of a sudden you break out hysterically into laughter, or you begin, then the next minute there's separation, you begin to cry. And then it's so ecstatic, then you begin to dance, and then you feel sorrow. People will not think that you're mentally stable. Ye kale karina jagannatha darsana mane bhave kurikshetre paniche mila. At those times, Lord Chaitanya would visit Jagannatha. Then his feelings exactly corresponded to those of the gopis when they saw Krishna at Kurukshetra after long separation. Krishna had come to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister to visit. So we're going to discuss this. The next verses on Wednesday, and we'll continue on Sunday, will be the essence of Krishna consciousness, this mood. And Lord Chaitanya, this is, we're learning. This is advanced. Your feelings correspond. How? He said at those times, it would correspond to a particular feeling. And that's really what's being described as Raghunuga Bhakti. That you have a particular attraction for Krishna, and you're meditating on those with that attraction, and those feelings that you have correspond to those feelings with intensity. And this is Raghunuga Bhakti. If you have that attraction and you're listening to these pastimes, as you listen to the Anti Leela, it's the manual to spontaneous devotional service. Because we'll be reading all the sentiments of the highest devotees. And by hearing those, if we develop a drop of aspiration, I want this, then that will increase our aspiration. So I'm going to stop now because right after this, I go immediately, if any of you are listening from Boston, I'm going to Boston and I'm going to do program there and stay for a week. But generally, somehow it's on Sunday, I generally travel, so I'll be going right after that. If anybody would like to ask a question, feel free to ask a question.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
How do you go?
This is Gail.
Okay.
I had at least one, if I can have
okay.
Another, I would. one of the five types of liberation.
Yeah.
Is, I think it's called Sampiya.
One of the five types of what?
Liberation. Liberation.
Is called what?
Sampiya.
I never heard that.
Salokya.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Well, which one is it?
Well, the one I'm talking about is Samipya.
Okay.
You know, we're the devotees are not interested in any of those five types of liberation.
Right.
Including the one where there's those who want to have association with the Lord. Right? That's one of the
to live on the same planet.
Well, that's a different one. There's one.
Which one is it?
The one where they want to associate with the Lord. Samipya.
Okay, I just have to look it up somehow, but okay, they want to associate with...
Wondering, you know, in your lectures you've been saying that, you know, the devotees want to associate with the Lord in order to be able to serve him. And so I was wondering, what is the distinction between the desire of those types of devotees and the desires of those who want that particular type of liberation? Where they want, you know, Samipya.
Uh-huh. I think the difference is the devotee wants to associate with the Lord. That's his desire. But I think these are particularly, you want anyway, Gail, I'm going to think about this, and I'll definitely answer it on Wednesday and Sunday, okay?
All right, then can I ask another question?
Well, another one I'll probably answer on Sunday, too. Because it's I should end the class. Okay, ask your question.
Yeah, you were saying that Krishna sent Yudhisthira to Bhishma Dev.
Yeah.
Because Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees.
Okay.
And I didn't understand that connection. You know, sending him. You know, he didn't.
Because Bhishma Dev's desire was that he wanted to see the Supreme Lord at the time of death. And therefore, Krishna didn't answer, thank you for asking this question, Krishna didn't answer Yudhisthira's question. Because if he answered Yudhisthira's question, there would be no need for Yudhisthira to go see Bhishma Dev.
Right, right.
So because Krishna loved Bhishma Dev so much, he wanted to, his mind was, how can we fulfill his desire? Oh, and the point is, why Yudhisthira? Because then Krishna went along with Yudhisthira. Oh, no, wait. Okay, now I got it. He also wanted another desire of his. There's three things. There were three desires that were fulfilled. One, he wanted a glorified Bhishma Dev. So if he would have answered the question, then there wouldn't, if he would have answered Yudhisthira's question, it wouldn't have, then Bhishma Dev wouldn't be able to express all his great philosophical realizations in the assembly of all the great sages who came there to see him lead the body. So because Krishna wanted Yudhisthira glorified, rather than answering the question, he didn't answer the question. He couldn't answer the question by his Leela Shakti, which reigns supreme in his pastimes, which is also a manifestation. So his Leela Shakti didn't allow him to answer the question, so that Bhishma Dev can be glorified. And that's the inner desire of Krishna. Also, that was his grandson who suffered. So he was able to see his grandson established. Every dying grandfather wants to see his children established, every father. So he got to see that. Yudhisthira came in as the king. And also, somehow because Krishna was with him, Krishna arranged to also come. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And your other question, I will think about a little bit more deeply. It'll be answered in the next class. Okay? Okay, before I go, anybody, thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
Gordon.
Who?
Gordon.
Oh, Govardhan. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
That's Gordon. He said Gordon.
Oh, Gordon. Is that Gordon?
Yes, Maharaj.
Hey, Gordon, you're a poet. What do you think of the poem? Did you hear that line?
I did hear that line, and I just the magic of words, how that flowed. When Innisfree opens, I'm going to have to emulate that one. So I'll get back to you on
I'll read it again. May dancing music's sweetest flower hymns float from out the flute's sweet flower snout. Anyway, I'll send it to you so you can read it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. I'm going to take some. I'll read the first part. Falling to the holy ground, I bow to Vrindavan's forest, where the glittering sound of Krishna's flute now floats through many flower bow. Gracefully dances and brightly glances with music's light steps, feet, all made of gracefulness's poetry and beauty's worlds of shimmering ecstasy. Sweeter than the sweetest, sweetest nectar, will that glistens with the greatest power and wills to be the devotee's protector, glances like the sweetest, sweetest shower of most, most, most sincerest love, and playful words like punning poet's lecture are all like ecstasy's effulgent moon. In addition to them, the seers of the Vedas, the Puranas personified, and the personified honey monsoon, a bliss that comes from seeing lotus-eyed Sri Krishna and glittering gopi girls with smiles upon the lips all worship sweetest, sweetest, sweetest Vrindavan's flower forest. Anyway, that's something. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, that's nice. Look it up. Then I'll see you either Wednesday or Sunday. Thank you so much. Vamsha Kalpa Kurubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavane Vaishnavi.